Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Today, we're looking at Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." I want you to take note of two words or two phrases or two sets of words that says they are justified and are justified by His grace as a gift. Notice the words "by His grace," or rather "are justified by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." It's one thing to be justified. It's a completely different thing to be redeemed. Today, I want you to yet have another picture of this magnificent gospel by understanding this word that's called redemption. Simply put, redemption means to be rescued by ransom. It comes from the Greek word lutro, to be set free by paying somebody an amount of money to ransom them from their captivity. I've entitled this message, "Big Time Buyback." The first point I want to make is this: why do we need redemption? And the answer is found in Romans 7, verses 15 and 16. "I do not understand what I do." Here's Paul saying, "I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good." Notice where he says, "I do not understand what I do. What I want to do, I don't get to do it. I end up doing the very thing that I hate to do. Against my own will, I have no power over it," is a picture of someone in captivity who has no control or power over the situation. "For I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." Here is a picture of someone who genuinely desires to do what's good, but can't make it happen. He says, "The evil that I don't want to do is what I keep on doing." Why do we need redemption? Because we're captives. Paul is simply describing the life of a captive, someone in a state of imprisonment, confinement, against one's own will, and has no way out or capacity to get out of it. Why do we need redemption? We are captives, and secondly, we are slaves. Who is enslaving us? Who are we enslaved to? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26 says this: "They will come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil." And what is the trap of the devil? "Who has taken them captive to do his will." When you've been taken captive, you need to be redeemed, because at some point you become a slave with no capacity to escape. And how does he do it? Well, it says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, "They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved." Corruption is the slavery that we find ourselves in. And slavery, while captivity is about being captive or being confined, slavery is all about who owns you. We're captives, we're slaves, therefore we need to be redeemed. To understand captivity, slavery, and finally, bondage, we need to look at the Jews that were captives, slaves in Egypt. The Jews were in captivity. And when you're captive, that simply means you end up doing what other people want you to do without any choice. When you're owned by someone, he'll do what he pleases. And finally, when you're in bondage, that simply means to be abused, to be oppressed, to be physically and mentally and emotionally, politically, financially, in every respect, captive, enslaved, bondaged. Exodus chapter 6, verse 5 captures this very idea. "Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel from the Egyptians who hold them as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant." God is talking about these Jews that have been held as slaves in captivity. Notice where it says, it continues to say, "Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." This is now speaking not of captivity, but of the burdens or the bondage. "And I will deliver you from slavery," which speaks about slavery. This is the complete picture of why people need redemption. We need redemption because we're captives to sin, we're slaves to the corruption of sin, and we're in bondage to the pains that comes out of the life that we live in sin. Second point is, what did God redeem us from? In other words, yes, we do need to be redeemed, but what did He redeem us from? Well, first of all, He redeemed us from our captivity. Again, a good picture of this are the Jews in Egypt. I want you to listen very carefully because you're going to grasp the importance, the significance of redemption, thereby understanding the power of the gospel from this perspective and not just from justification. Exodus chapter 3 verse 7 says this, "The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering." So what is God delivering us for? Why is He doing this? Because, apply that to yourself, God wants to redeem us because He's concerned about our suffering. Notice the next part of chapter 3, verse 8. "So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians." In other words, God is coming down to rescue us or redeem us, as part of that is rescuing us, and to bring them out to the land, into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. What is He redeeming us from? Rescuing us from the hand of captivity so that we can enjoy a good place, a promised land that He has for us. "Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." There it is. I will deliver you from slavery, rescue from captivity, bring you out of your bondage, and deliver you from slavery. This is why He wants to redeem us. Now watch this. In the next part of this verse, it says, "I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment." Basically, what God says, "I will redeem you, deliver you from slavery, rescue you from captivity, bring you out of your burdens of bondage, and I will do it with all my power, with great acts, with my outstretched arm, with everything I have, I will redeem you." This is the redemption that we find in the good news of Jesus Christ. You and I know what happened. The Lord came, He redeemed the people of Israel, and there were 10 plagues that caused, you know the story. The power of God was unleashed to redeem His people from captivity, from slavery, and from bondage. What exactly did God redeem us from? Captivity, from slavery, and from bondage. Moreover, He redeemed us from our ignorance. It's very interesting when you understand the power of redemption and its difference from justification. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13 says, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober," listen to this very carefully, it is your mind that needs to be alert and fully sober, "set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming." Notice what it says. Set your mind to be alert and fully sober. Why? "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you" what? "When you lived in ignorance." Many times, we have sins that we're not even aware of our sins. And that's why God has to redeem us, because we ourselves are not even aware that we're enslaved, that we're in a position that is captive, and that the reason why we have burdens in our life is because of our own ignorance. "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were," what is it? "Redeemed from that empty way of life handed down to you by your ancestors." Many times, the sins that we live, the things that hold us captive, the problems that we have in our lives, was not really caused by us, and we're actually ignorant of the fact that this was happening, because these were handed to us, down from us, from our ancestors. When you look at the story of the people, of the Jews in Israel, they weren't actually completely just informed about everything. Many of the things they didn't know, they didn't even know who God was. They didn't know His standards, His laws, His holiness. And so God needed to redeem them from their own ignorance. Back in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, "You know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty life, the way of life handed to you by your own ancestors." Then it goes on to say in 1 Peter 1, 19, "but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." This is how we were redeemed. Now, you know that in the story of the people of Exodus, the people of Israel in Egypt, there were not 9 plagues, there were 10. And the final plague was the plague of the firstborn. In other words, the 9 plagues were against the people of Israel, of Egypt rather, but the 10th plague will affect everyone. Even the Israelites were ignorant of the fact that they themselves are living in sin. The plague of the firstborn meant that everybody who had the firstborn will die, and the only way around it was for them to splash their doors with the blood of the lamb. Now, roughly, there were about 2 million people at that time. And if you divide that by 5, that's a lot of lamps. That's about 200,000 some lamps that they had to have to kill and pour that blood into those doorposts or wipe them in those doorposts. Because that's the only way they could be redeemed. Mark chapter 10 verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to what? To give his life as a ransom, as a redeemer, as a redemption price for many to be saved." The blood of Jesus, the reason why the very cup that was Jesus did not want to take at one point was because he was about to take on him all of the sins of the world, all the slavery, all the pain, and that was what was concerning to him. It wasn't about the pain. It was about the fact that on him was the very ransom to redeem us from our captivity, to redeem us from our own ignorance, and finally, to redeem us from our bankruptcy. Luke chapter 4 verse 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord," this is Jesus himself speaking, "is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim," there it is, "the good news of freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." This is a picture of bankruptcy. Poor, blind, oppressed, prisoners in need of redemption. What did God redeem us from? He redeemed us from our captivity, our slavery, and our bondage. He redeemed us from our own ignorance. He redeemed us from our bankruptcy, our inability to save our own lives. Which brings me to my final point. The result of our redemption. The result of our redemption, freedom to do good. Titus chapter 2 verses 11 and 12 says this, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers us salvation for all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." The grace of God gives that to us, and it teaches us to say no to ungodliness. "While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself us to redeem us from the wickedness and to purify us to himself as a people in this, at his very own, people that are his very own rather, eager to do what is good." Freedom to do good is the result of our redemption. We're not forced to do it. We're not trying to make it happen. We've just been given God the freedom from the slavery, the bondage, the captivity that allows us to live the good lives he's intended for us. Freedom to enjoy God's grace. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 7 and 8 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood that was shed for us, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace he lavished on us." In him we have redemption because he died for us and redeemed us, and he poured out his grace that he lavishly gave us. Stop living like a captive, ignorant of the goodness of God, the favor of God, the love of God, the ways of God, the power of God, and start living under his favor, knowing that you have been redeemed by God. The result of our redemption, freedom to do good, freedom to enjoy God's grace. The final thing you receive because you understand that you've been redeemed by no less than the precious blood of the Lamb is freedom to become his child. Galatians chapter 4 verse 4 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law," to what? "To redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as his sons," or his children. It's a powerful thought that the result of redemption is not just freedom to do good, freedom to enjoy God's grace, but freedom to become his child. Stop living like a slave. Start living as his child whom he has redeemed. When you add justification and redemption, you begin to fully comprehend why it is called the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Let me summarize this short message. Why do we need redemption? We're captives. We're slaves. We are in bondage. What did God redeem us from? He redeemed us from our own captivity. He redeemed us from our ignorance. He redeemed us from our bankruptcy. The result of redemption is freedom to do good, freedom to enjoy God's grace, and finally, freedom to become his child. Join me in a short word of proclamation as we proclaim Jesus, our Savior, who redeemed us from slavery, from bondage, and from captivity. Lord Jesus, thank you for redeeming us, for shedding your blood, that we might become free to become your children, to do good, to enjoy the fullness of your grace that you've lavished upon us. Seal this truth in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.